Hi, my whizzes, and welcome to episode 235 of the Food Biz Whiz podcast. Okay, I know I always say this episode is special at the beginning of each show, but that's because we've been having really great guests here on the Food Biz Whiz podcast, and today is no different. We love highlighting women-owned and founded brands any time of year, but given that it's March and it's Women's History Month, we wanted to chat with another women-owned brand, BTR Nation, and their founder, CEO, and Chief Snack Officer, Ashley Nicholson. So welcome back to our new series on building a business that works for you. In these episodes, you'll hear from folks who have built and sustained businesses on their own terms, and that's exactly what Ashley and I are going to talk about today. Ashley from BTR Nation is a former Retail Ready student, and she has built BTR Bars to be a business that works for her. BTR Bars are the better-for-you bars, and they've become a go-to snack for folks who want nutrition and flavor. I can't wait to kick off this episode and hear more about Ashley's perspective on how she started BTR Bars, what's working and what's not working for her in this notoriously challenging bar category, and what she's doing differently today as she hits her third year of business. Gosh, going into the fourth year, so third year birthday of the business. So we've got an episode full of advice, inspiration, and lessons for you. So let's get started in just one moment. Before I press play today, I want to remind you that we have officially changed our Instagram handle after a long trademark back and forth. So now find us at FoodBizWiz on Instagram from here on out. I know these next few weeks of the transition can either make or break whether we continue to show up in your feed with our advice, with our freebies, and with our invitations to learn with us. So please take a moment today, press pause right now, and send me a DM at Food Biz Whiz, so we can continue to stay connected. Thank you for that. And on to today's show. I'm Allie Ball, former grocery buyer and retail store manager turned wholesale consultant. In my role on the retail floor, I saw delicious, values-driven brands fail on our shelves simply because they didn't understand the behind-the-scenes of wholesale. I created the Food Biz Whiz podcast to give you hard-to-access insight from my career in the food industry and the tools and strategies to help you succeed on retail shelves. If you're a committed food founder who's looking to create and grow a packaged products business that positively impacts our food system, puts wealth back into your own hands, and employs members of your local community, you have found the right podcast. Let's do this. Welcome back to episode 235. As I mentioned in the intro, we are thrilled to be chatting with Ashley Nicholson. Ashley is the trailblazer, founder, and chief snack officer of BTR Nation. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the Food Biz Whiz podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Allie. I have been listening to the podcast for years, so this is a dream come true. Like, before I started my company, I was like, oh, one of these days I am going to be on Food Biz Whiz, and here we are. So it's amazing. Gosh.
What a wild ride. I always love it when people say they listen to the podcast before even launching their company. I feel like that's a very smart move. So props to you, Ashley. But let's talk about BTR Nation. For folks who aren't familiar with you or BTR Bars, let's just give a high level overview of, like, what the heck do you make? How long have you been in business? Give me like, set the stage for our listeners here.
Yes, absolutely. So BTR actually stands for Be Bold, Tenacious, and Resilient. And it's my parents' personal mantra. And this company is really a love letter to them. It's a tribute to them. So both of them passed away from very rare forms of cancer. And while they were battling cancer and on that journey, I was their primary caretaker. And we were eating out of hospital vending machines and cafeterias for over 4 years. And it was just appalling. And I took to my kitchen. I have a background in biochemistry and food studies and public health nutrition. And I started making these little bites. They were not bars at the time, but they were little bites. And actually, our cinnamon cookie dough flavor was our cinnamon swirl bite. And our dark chocolate brownie bite is now our dark chocolate brownie bar. And I was making them for them. And my mom passed away very quickly. It was just, her cancer was so aggressive. She didn't really see much of it. But my dad was very entrenched and he loved it. He actually incorporated an LLC before he passed away. And it's like, I want you to do something with this one day. And when they both passed away, I kind of just, I tabled the idea. I went to work at a supplement startup that's all real food based. And that's always been aligned with our values. And I learned everything possible about running a business, from sales, marketing to ops. And it's like, okay, maybe one day I will do this on my own. And then the pandemic hit. And yeah. I, like most people, went into this like existential crisis. Am I living my purpose? Am I honoring my parents? Like, what can I do? And I had these recipes in a Google Doc and I dusted it off and I took them to a co-packer right away. I knew that was the route I wanted to go. And I was like, okay, let's make this in scale. And, you know, scale then was like, let's make 10,000 units. And scale now is like, let's make 500,000 units. So it's totally different, but we're 3 years old and this is 100% my why. Every single day is to wake up, make my parents proud, help do my part to fix our broken food system. And we are actually, we're partnered with US Foods. So we're actually selling our products in hospitals and it's a slow grind, but it's coming to life and we're selling in hospitals nationwide.
Wow. That is a beautiful story.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry to hear about your parents.
Yeah, I feel them in the business. I always say like, I'm a pretty spiritual person. Like I talk to them. I want to make sure that anyone that is a caretaker in any phase of their life, like nutrition is the first thing that goes. Nutrition and sleep typically. Yeah. And it's especially when you're, you know, when you're a healthcare proxy, when you're making decisions, when you're advocating for, you know, a family member, a friend, you have to be of the right mind. And I was just, it was so bad. I was just eating so much junk and I felt it. I was like falling asleep in hospital chairs. And I was like, let me just make something quick and do it myself and see how it makes me feel. And it's, you know, by no means are these bars supposed to be like, okay, this is going to save your life. Like
right.
The point of the product is that it helps, you know, give you quality of life. It helps, you know, you focus more, you stay energized, you stay full and satiated. So you're not craving things. So everything about the product is we're low in sugar, but we don't use sugar alcohols. We don't use stevia. We don't use allulose. We don't use things that are, you know, in your typical keto products. Like we, our whole goal is that, yes, we want to make sure that we're lower in sugar, 80 to 90% lower than what's typically on the market, but using real simple whole food ingredients. And then every single bite is boosted with these awesome superfoods. So our cinnamon cookie dough bar has cordyceps and maca and amazing energizing superfoods. And that trifecta is really what customers are loving, right? There's the nutritional attributes that are coming out, but the taste delivers because we're a nut butter bar. So and nut butters are so yummy. So trying not to be everything for everyone. Like we're not nut free. That is the one thing when we have people come to us and they're like, okay, can you make a non-nut butter bar? And we're always working on it. Yeah. And we might have like one or two SKUs that are non-nut butter based, but that is at our core, even our chocolates are nut butter cups. It gives you that like delicious, nostalgic taste and texture profile while also making sure that we're like filling those nutritional gaps.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've got two questions about your parents before we dig into this. One, what were their names?
Yes. Oh, I love sharing and passing their legacy on. So Donna and David Nicholson.
Donna and David. Yes. Okay. Yes. So D&D. Donna, yes, D&D. Okay. Donna and David had this phrase that they would say. Yeah. Is this true? I love picturing you growing up in a household where Donna and David would say, "Hey, Ashley, be bold, tenacious, and resilient." Like, like your first day of kindergarten or something. Ashley, like be bold, tenacious, and resilient.
Yes. When I was a kid, my parents were my best friends. So like, I was a good kid. Like I loved, even when I was like, you know, I was one of those like 18, 19 year olds that like, I'm going to dinner with my parents. Like they're my best friends. They were cool. They were modern. They just like understood me. They were never like super strict. It was just like, we had just a great relationship and I was an only child. So we grew up super close together. And, But I did always think like some of these like phrases and adages were a little corny. And I remember them like shouting out the window as they like rolled the window down because we did not have like an electric window. Oh my goodness, that trend on like TikTok right now where it's like millennials remembering that they have to like actually use their arm to roll down the car window. So they would roll down the window and shout out the window. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. And I found it pretty corny, but they would leave little notes in my lunchbox. And my father was the one that like coined a lot of phrases. Mm-hmm. And every single year on my birthday, he would give me like a birthday card with all these phrases. And I still have most of them as like keepsakes. And I once a month, like usually go through them and just like for inspiration. And running a food business, running any business is so difficult. And I always tell all my founder friends and myself, like, you have to have your why so cemented because it's just so easy to be like, this is hard, like off to the next thing. And that's not like my passion literally burns so bright. And it's because of them. And I feel like they keep talking to me through these phrases. So be bold, tenacious, and resilient was one of them that kind of just like always stuck with me. And we decided, okay, like BTR, better, like it's this works with the whole brand. And now literally we'll have customers that will write emails to me and they're like, you know, stay BTR or like in BTR. And it's like the cutest thing where people are like, I'm being bold, tenacious, and resilient. And it's their words being spoken back to me. And it's just so cool to see that the mission has this life of its own now.
Yeah. And your parents' legacy lives on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And that's the whole goal because they both passed away just way too early, like in their 50s. Like this is just like I was in my 20s. It, you know, when my mom was diagnosed, she was misdiagnosed for so many years. Mm-hmm. But when she was like finally got her diagnosis, like it's so crazy to have like a 24, 25 year old all of a sudden like step in and manage cancer care. And it happens all the time. And there are just so many caretakers out there. And what happens is when you're a caretaker, you're not taking care of yourself because you're advocating for the people around you that you love. And it's, you know, not selfishly, but like you have to be the best advocate possible. So I'm just hoping, and that's actually what a lot of our customers come to us because they resonate with the mission, but also they're like, I'm just trying to eat better. I'm trying to get my family to eat better. We've got, you know, individuals with diabetes in our family or individuals with cancer or heart disease. And they're like, they can't get enough of these products because it's a need now. It's not just a want. And we want to make sure that there is a company that's delivering, that's transparent, that's focused on that. Because like, there's just so many people doing, you know, the same stuff over and over again in the industry and like putting a label on something. And it's like, you know, building a brand, which I give you a lot of credit. I love brand building. It's very hard to do, but it's I'll flip it over and I'm like, okay, this is exactly the same bar as what lives on the shelf. What can we do that's so different? And even though it's a nut butter bar, like there is no one that is doing what we do. And even 3 years into the industry, like into the business, we don't see anyone copying us because it's hard to do check off those boxes for nutrition, for taste and for texture and for price. And it's, we don't see anyone doing that still.
Yeah. And you know, the bar category is notoriously challenging, right? Like everybody comes into Retail Ready and thinks that their category is particularly challenging. And yes, there are challenges with each category, but I'll say bar category is a tough one. So Ashley, let's talk about what it means to build a business that works for you. I've really admired the way you have absorbed all of this industry knowledge, that you've gone out and invested in your learning, you know, from even being in the supplement world beforehand, learning all that you could about building a business. You've taken away lessons and you've still decided to do things differently. Yeah. So tell me what it means to build a business that works for you.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it has to be something that you are proud of. And it has to be something that aligns with your core values. And of course, there's going to be brands, people have to pivot, right? You also have to do what consumers are asking for. But I was reading an article the other day about brands that are super successful are ones that just make slight incremental changes to the industry or to their product. And that is not what we have done. Like we have created a product that is, yes, it requires some education, But because of the taste and texture piece of things, like even if the customer doesn't care about the education, they're coming back for that, which is what, you know, taste is king. We talk about this all the time. Like it has to taste good or it has to have a texture that people like. So, and, but at the same time, food is subjective as well. Like we know that with our bars, we are a health product. We are health positioned first. And then people take a bite and they're like, my goodness, I'm pleasantly surprised because this is so delicious. And it is really, really challenging to do. So what I always share with my founder friends and just colleagues that, that are starting a business is find your non-negotiables. That what in recipe formulation, in package design, like what are your non-negotiables? And those are your core values, your pillars, and communicate that. Make sure that you're storytelling and putting that out into the world as much as possible. And then find the channels that work for you. I think that's, and we're still discovering this daily, is what channels are the bars going to thrive in? What channels are, we have a brand new line of nut butter cups, which are, I say a brand new line, but it's really, it's over a year old. It's just, it's like always out of stock and we're always trying to optimize production and try to get it like really speed up production. So it feels like it's new. Where are the chocolates going to go? Where are they going to live? And trying to find the channels that work best for your customer, that work best for your profit, that work best for you. Because I think I see a lot of brands that try to like force themselves in because everyone's going into that retailer. Everyone's going into that food service account, but it's not profitable, or it's like, it costs so much to, you know, to spend there and they're not venture backed. And like, how do you do that? So for us, we are angel backed and we have incredible angels on our cap table. And I feel very blessed and lucky that the majority of them, like 8 out of 10 of them, found us and came to us looking to invest in a company that they aligned with their mission. And I can go to them and be like, hey, we're launching in this new retail account. Do you want to re-up your investment? And most of the time they'll be like, yeah, let's do this. And that's been wonderful because it is so hard to go into retail and to see how expensive it is and then be like, okay, well now I'm on the shelf. How do I move my product? So finding the ways, like for us, we launched in middle of November, we launched in Sasebo Express Gourmet Markets in airports nationwide.
And that's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
It is in like 10 airports nationwide. Yes. And now we're in SFO, which is so exciting. So I can't wait to see the product when I fly out in February out of SFO. Airports are crushing it right there. It's just, it's a built-in channel where it's not like, you know, maybe we'll run some promos, but like it is a need. It's serving a specific need for a customer that's looking for a healthy product that they can travel with, that they're not going to have like, you know, sugar crashes and cravings and all the things. Like now that need is being met because we're in airports and we're in hospitals and we're trying to get into schools and we're working with food service here in San Francisco. And all of these accounts have been so awesome because it is the need for the customer. Of course, we're going into grocery. Like we launched into Raley's in December, which was super cool. It's our first conventional chain. And it's also doing really well in Raley's, but it's a different strategy. And figuring out what is going to move on the shelf at Raley's is very different than what's going to move in airports where the product is just like flying, literally.
Yeah. Okay. So I hear two things that were really big for you. The first one was identifying your non-negotiables. Yes. So like, what would be an example of a non-negotiable for BTR Nation?
Yeah. So one big one, and it's really funny because people are like, okay, so you're really going to die on this hill, Ashley. Yes, we are. So one thing to me that's really important is transparency. I just want to know what I'm consuming. And even though our products are lower in sugar, like I eat sugar, right? Like, I mean, I'm going to eat a brownie like with 15 grams of sugar if I want, like that is totally fine. But I have this pet peeve with natural flavors because I don't know what's in it. And every time when we were starting the recipe process and our co-packer was like, well, everyone adds natural flavors into bars. Like that's kind of a thing. And I'm like, well, let's see what's in them. And then when we would call the flavor houses, they were like, oh, it's proprietary. We can't tell you. And I was like, nope, absolutely not. Like we cannot use them. So that is a non-negotiable. It is such a hard workaround, Allie, because
I bet.
For a bar, right? When people are like, make a birthday cake bar. And I'm like, birthday cake doesn't grow on trees. So we make a lot of video content around that. Like literally birthday cake doesn't grow on trees. So this is not a product that we're going to make, but we're going to make like a vanilla crunch. We have not done this, but we might make a vanilla crunch almond bar. We'll make a dark chocolate brownie because cacao grows on trees. So figuring out a way to, yes, there's that education component, but when we make it entertaining or inspiring or just fun for people to watch, people get absorbed. And we've had some TikTok videos go viral. We've had some Instagram videos go viral because of it. And people are like, oh, that's true. Like, no one really knows what's in natural flavors.
Right. And what I love here is the connection between the non-negotiable now becomes part of your marketing strategy, one of your content pillars, right?
Exactly.
It's one of the reasons why your customers get on board.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So the non-negotiable isn't something that is just on a Google Dive that is gathering digital dust. Right. It's something that you're living and breathing and talking about in your communication with your customers and likely with your retailers and such too.
Yes. And it has to be important to the end consumer as well. And, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, I don't know how important that would have been. And it's still like, it's gathering momentum, but people are questioning what that, like, people are just questioning what's in their food more than ever now. And just being transparent about it, like we're even making, like even though we're a lower sugar product, there are products that are like, we're using all the sugar, but we're telling you what's in it because a lot of these sugar alcohols, they're man-made. Right. So like, that's why we make a point to say like, we naturally sweeten with nuts and dates and spices. So like people understand like it's lower in sugar. Yes, that's great. But it's also real food and not something that's like man-made and super processed. So.
Yeah. Okay. So for our listeners, I'm going to challenge you to sit down and just write a list of your non-negotiables.
I love that. Right?
Maybe five, right? Like we don't need a list of 20 non-negotiables.
Yeah, that's too many.
That's too many, right? Like that's going to be really hard to hold them as non-negotiables, right?
Exactly.
So Ashley, I'm going to take your inspiration here and ask our listeners, right? Like, what are your non-negotiables? 3 to 5. What are these things that you will not compromise on in your business? And then if you want to, we'll just say, if you want to share them with us,
yes,
come and send me a DM, Ashley. I know you're in your DMs.
I'm all the time, BTR.nation. Like it's, and then make content around each of them so people know why that's a non-negotiable. So if you are, you know, an allergen friendly cookie, right? Like, why is that important? Why, you know, why are the, you know, the 9 top common allergens out of your product? And what do each of them mean? And, you know, what does that look like? And I have a couple of mentees now, which is just the cutest thing. And I challenge them to think that way as well too, because it does become easy to become another SKU, another brand on the shelf that's exactly the same because you are not differentiated from a recipe perspective, but you're also not differentiated with the content that you're putting out there.
Yes. Okay, great. I'm glad you phrased it like that. That's literally when we get these cookie cutter brands, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if our listeners are doing that here, even better, post it in your stories and you can tag me and Ashley and we'll see what your non-negotiables are. I would love to hear that. Okay. And then the second thing that you're doing differently is channel strategy. And I think this is a big one to talk about as someone who loves retail in many ways, hates retail in many ways, speaking for myself. And Ashley, I was just pulling this up. I pulled this up before we started our episode. You joined us in Retail Ready in January of 2021.
Yes. Oh my God.
3 years ago.
It feels like forever ago.
And when we kicked off this episode, you said you're hitting your 3-year birthday.
Yes. We are. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We soft launched end of 2020, sold out really quickly. It was kind of like just proving the concept, kind of like friends, family, like, and slightly beyond that, like, do you like this? Are you going to reorder? And then really February of 2021 was when we came out in full force and we're like, okay, let's do this. Let's take our 10,000 units and buy like 30,000 of each flavor and make it a real thing.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Great. So one of my goals of Retail Ready is to obviously educate folks about the retail channel and what it takes, but also to if people come through Retail Ready and then decide that retail is not for them, I think we've just saved folks $250,000. I'll say that.
Super expensive. Yep.
Super expensive. But also, it allows people to make decisions about channel strategy. So at this point, what has examining your channel strategy and doing things your own way allowed you to do? Where are you now?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'll caveat, we are making a giant push into retail. Even though it's expensive, but we waited, right? We waited until we had the right investment because we launched into some key iconic retailers to like kick things off. So Central Market was actually our first partner in retail and love Central Market. And I'm still like, I'm flying to Texas in a few weeks to still like do a demo because we're launching our superfood chocolate there and they will be like the first retail accounts to have that chocolate. So it's, you know, you always have love for like the first couple accounts and most of our retailers have actually come to us. And that's something that is really exciting for me to see because we grew digitally. My background is D2C and I like to think of us as a digitally native brand. And I still like to think like we are doing so much D2C. And I say we, I am a sales and marketing team of one. So we have people come to me all the time that say, so you write your own emails and like, is that a waste of time? No, it's definitely not. There is an insane ROI on every single one of our emails.
It is working for you. It is working.
It's working for me to outsource it to an agency or to a consultant who's going to lose the brand voice that people are going to know immediately. Can I do it forever? Absolutely not. Will I hire internally? Yes, because I need someone to understand the brand voice when they're creating those emails. And we work with a lot of influencers and we've partnered with micro influencers. We've partnered with macro influencers. We send lots of product out organically. We see who posts about us. We see this worked super well. Let's do a sponsored partnership because this worked so well. And it brought in like 200 new customers to our website. Like if we do something that's a longer term partnership and maybe we make a collab product, maybe we collab on an email or on a bundle. We've done that a bunch with our influencers where it's like, what are your favorite products? Let's make a bundle and give some things away to your community. And that it's like just doubling down on things that work even better. And what we notice is now as we're hitting the retail shelves, people are like, oh, well, I heard about you from this influencer. And I heard, you know, we see this at shows, we see this at demos, like, oh, I see you all over Instagram. Like my favorite influencer shares about you. And I'm like, okay, it's working. And it is so difficult to get lost in the shelf. And even if you submit, like we have a very aggressive promo strategy and I love the fact that we're trying to create and build these awesome promos, but when everyone's on in the same month, you all have tags or maybe your tag didn't even make it to the shelf. What do you do then? And how do you move the product then? And, you know, I am a big fan of demos and I do think that demos move the product well for us. It is hard. A couple of my friends, they crush it. They've got amazing demo teams. It's usually me. And then I will like try and hire and find brand ambassadors who are already like amazing organic customers. We'll work with some demo agencies. Like we've tried to pull together this strategy, but still like demos, yes, they'll move the needle temporarily. But what we see is that we have this D2C presence. We're constantly sending emails and SMS messages about where we are, where you can find us. And it makes people feel like, oh, well, I'm part of this BTR community. Let me go in store and support them. And we are not the only brand to do this. I've seen some incredible massive brands like Oat House and Gonanas really crushing it and doing the same type of thing as they're using their D2C audience that loves the brand organically. And they're like, of course, I want to support, you know, BTR Nation and Rayleigh's and Blue Bottle and all the things.
Ashley, can I interrupt you about this? So D2C is supporting your retail. I totally am on board with this. And for our listeners who obviously can't see me, as you were talking about that shelf of bars and everybody being on promo, like I literally was rolling my eyes over here, agreeing with you and like enthusiastically nodding along. So you use your D2C strategy to get people stoked about the brand, and then they go into retail and they see you on the shelf, right? Okay. And I'm sure our listeners are thinking, okay, Ashley, like that's awesome. Good for you. But I'm a solopreneur.
Yeah.
I don't have a background in digital marketing.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know how to build out an influencer campaign.
Yep.
What would you say to that? Yeah, where do you start?
Yeah. So as much as I say this answer a lot, and a lot of people are like, I don't like that. Start on Instagram, start on TikTok. Like, even if you're alone and you think that it's not going to actually generate anything for you, it does. These influencers they are called influencers for a reason. They have a ton of influence. And I always say, like, I'm an educated consumer. I'm immune to influencers. And then I'm like buying pajamas for my child. And I'm like, where did I hear about this? And I'm like, oh, that influencer got me. And it's like, it's true. And it's not even in a bad, it's not in a bad way. It's in a good, like, I love this product. Cause we send product to people that are like, yeah, I like it. But like, I have a couple of other bars I like too. And like, you know, I'll share about them organically, but that's just like what I do. And great. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. We'll have people that are like, I don't want to share about the bars because I'm like, I feel like the bar space is too saturated, but I love your chocolate. Can I share about the chocolate? Right. Like they have to fall in love with the product and it can't be a forced fit. So we look for influencers that like we'll literally go on Instagram and we'll start with one influencer. And then this is my strategy. Start with one influencer. Who is that influencer following? Who is following that influencer? Mm-hmm. Like you find other influencers. Who's commenting on that influencer's post about another bar or another granola or something along those lines? Like what other campaigns are they doing? Like that is, and are they only doing campaigns? Like, are they not creating any value for their customer base, for their followers? Like, that's a red flag too. So I look for influencers that maybe they're making amazing recipes and they're like, I want to use your chocolate to make a recipe for Valentine's Day. That's how, and a lot of them come to us at this point. So, but in the beginning, they did not. We were nobody. Mm. No one knew who we were. I am not a celebrity by any means. And like, even though I am a face on the brand and I try to like put myself out there as much as possible, there are brands where there are founders that are like on every single day, every minute. And I'm like, okay, that's amazing. And I can't wait to get to that space. But I was a solopreneur for over two years. And then we made our first hire last May. And now we have a warehouse manager, but we're literally a team of one and a half. So,
yeah. Okay. You and the warehouse manager, right? So it's not like you went out
and a part-time ops person. Yes.
Okay, great. So great. Warehouse and ops. You didn't go out and hire a social media manager. You didn't hire an influencer manager, a content creator, you know, any of that. So you're still doing 100% pretty much of the marketing.
Yes. If people don't, there are founders that are like, I don't feel comfortable on social. Like I just think someone who does feel comfortable on social might be better at that. That could be like use your strengths. Like for me, my strength is D2C, building a community, building the brand. And, you know, and obviously as a founder, I do think most founders have to have that like sales instinct in them. Like you always share, Ali, like you have to be able to sell your own product. If you can't sell your own product, like, do you believe in it? Like what's going on kind of thing. I think that's a good question to ask yourself. Like, do you need to pivot? Do you need to reformulate and figure out what's going to be like your driving force to be like, oh my God, I make the best granola. I make the best bar, et cetera. But I do recommend like literally like, and it could be a half hour where you spend on Instagram trying not to get caught in the scroll. So, and that's something where I'm like, oh goodness, sometimes I'm on Instagram and I'm like, I was supposed to find like five influencers to like reach out and share like our Valentine's Day care package with. And instead I liked 100 posts and I was just caught in the scroll. It happens to everyone, but trying.
You close your phone and walk away, and then you're like, wait, I was supposed to actually do something.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I do recommend starting and finding your platform. I think everyone's like TikTok. We're on TikTok. I try to create content for TikTok. We do like there are a bunch of influencers that come to us on TikTok. It is not the channel that I know the best, even though Instagram people are like, oh, Instagram, the engagement, like you can't go as viral. That's okay. Like it's not about the virality. It's about building a massive following that is loyal. So, or any sized following, but that's
right.
Loyal. You could have 2,000 followers, but they're like buying your product, sharing about you, like the best group of people. So, and a lot of the people that we reach out to, they end up loving the product and then they become brand ambassadors. And we have an affiliate program that's built in where they get a percentage of commission if they share and like their friends, their family members, their followers use their code. So that's kind of like the funnel. But we start first, not like just dropping into DMs and being like, hey, I love your content. Like, can we send you product? it's a process. And I always say, like, just be a person. So like, I'm usually just responding to their Instagram stories, like, oh my goodness, like your baby's so cute, or like, this is adorable. Or like, I used to live in New York, and like, just trying to find commonalities like you would a friend. And some of these influencers have become good friends of mine, like literally where we text and they're like, oh, I'm in this store. And like, here's a, like, did you know you were here? And I'm like, oh my God, thank you for sharing. Like,
yes,
it's, they become friends. And that's the goal, is like, find someone who becomes part of like your brand's family, and building this, like you would a family, is really the goal that I have every time I go onto Instagram and TikTok. Not like, oh, this is a process, I don't like it, why do these influencers charge so much money, right? Like, it's, they have built a, and yes, that is, some are like that, but they have also built a following. Like, it is hard to build a following of a million followers, especially if it's organic and super authentic. And they have done that single-handedly themselves, right? Because they're the face of their brand. So it's the same, it's trying to have this like mutual respect for each other, and just finding like people who genuinely love your product. And it doesn't always like work immediately. That's the other thing I would definitely want to share, is like, people are like, oh, well, they shared once and they didn't work, so like, this can't work. And that cannot be the philosophy. It's like, it's volume and numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here we are, year three in the business. And I hear you saying that, you know, it was a consistent, tenacious effort, right? That you like put in the time over and over again to build this influencer network. And in turn, just to connect it back to where we were, that is impacting your ability to succeed in retail in year three, because they're directing people to the shelf and helping build that brand awareness before then.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Great. Okay. Can we brag a little bit about you? So I want to talk about real numbers, because people always want to know the real numbers. And like we said, here you are, year three. When we first met, you did a DTC launch, you sold out. Okay. Where are you now in year three? Like, give us some sexy stats or big wins or like measurable results. Like, this is your time to like, you know, unabashedly tell us what you're proud of.
Thank you. And I will. Thank you for giving me that space. It's so hard. I feel like, because on LinkedIn, I try to balance like the wins and like, we haven't, knock on wood, we haven't had any like losses. Of course there's learnings, right? And there's rejections, right? Rejections happen all the time. I think that's the thing, is people are like, oh, well, you're just like winning all these accounts. And like, we haven't lost an account, still going to knock on wood, that's great. But it's like, there's so much that goes into that. And there's so many no's too. Like, there are some accounts where I'm like, how have we not won this account by now? Like, and it's sometimes you miss a category review, right? Like, or it's like, you, the samples didn't arrive. And then they were like, ooh, I don't think we put you into the category review, and you have to wait a year. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yes.
But then there are some of these like really big wins. So this year I can't even like, we have some massive wins around the corner, mainly like Q2. So I can't share all of them, but our biggest win so far in retail is that we've tripled our door count in like a span of like 2 months. So
we
in November and December of last year, which was
gosh.
So what happened there is we were, you know, mainly chugging along, D2C, Amazon growing. So we've more than doubled the business every year, which has been wild.
That's huge. Yeah. Especially in this environment too, Ashley. That's really big. Congrats on that.
Thank you. It is so wild to see. And like, but this year we're going to like 5X. I can't even believe
it. 5X in 2024.
In 2024. And we all, specifically though, we had a little mini raise with a couple of our angel investors that were already in the company already. So it's not like we went out and looked for more. And like, because I think that sometimes, and I hear it both ways, because there are a lot of like founders that will go out and be like, you have to take like 100 investor calls to get like two that are going to say yes. And I 100% like, that could be that is people's story. Absolutely. Because we have not raised venture yet. And because we found angels who are so supportive in the brand, and they're like, they know that a lot of them are in CPG. They totally know what it takes. they're like, okay, let's see how much we can fuel this to get to where you need to from a top line revenue growth perspective, if you wanted to go the venture route at some point.
Yeah.
Because I do see a lot of brands that go venture right away. And it's like, especially if you're like in that like million or under, or even like 1 to 5 now, is really, it's like, it's really tough. So being able to kind of like pass that revenue milestone, I think is super, super important for founders to keep in mind, because then you might just be like talking into the abyss, right? Like you have 300 investor calls and like, you know, one of them converts and it's like a $25,000 check. So anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but really just sometimes in my fractional CFO who you had on, who had on the podcast, Alice Zhang, she literally was like, Ashley, head down, grow. That is like head down, grow, profitability, keep all these metrics in mind, because that is, at the end of the day, that's what's going to matter, like building your customer base, building your community. So in November of last year, we launched into SIBO, we launched into Raley's in December, and we launched into Blue Bottle Cafes nationwide, which is like a dream partnership.
Wow.
I have my little Blue Bottle tumbler here. I'm obsessed. I've been a Blue Bottle customer forever. And they came to us. It was just such a beautiful, like, collaboration. They're wonderful. And it's such a cool place to be, because it is where customers are looking for a product. Like they're going to have their morning coffee. They're going to have their, you know, their breakfast treat. And then they're like, oh, well, my protein bar is going to be like my mid-afternoon snacks. They're buying all of that one place. There's a limited SKU assortment. So it's not like, it's very curated. It's not like there's thousands of bars shouting at you. It's right there in front. Like, we are the only bar. Where there's a granola bar as well too, but we're the only
Michelle's
bar.
Of Nana Joe's.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yes. I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Another wonderful women-owned Bay Area brand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Ashley, it's a big deal, because historically Blue Bottle really hasn't sold packaged products.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some like pastries and stuff, but historically haven't had other brands available. Yeah. And, you know, I see this slightly shifting, but wow, this is a really, really big deal. And to hear that they came to you is such a testament to the brand that you're building.
Thank you. That's the thing, is like, it's influencers, it's podcasts. Like, I go on a lot of podcasts that are very like health focused, and it works because it's reaching the customer who needs the product. And that is like, we've had so many buyers come to us because they're like, oh, well, I saw you in Erewhon. And, you know, Erewhon, we'll have founders that are like, oh, but it's such an investment. Sure. So is everything though. And like, we fly at Erewhon. Like it's everything is an investment. It's just thinking about, and this is, I guess, like my big piece of advice, is like looking at accounts and saying like, okay, at the end of this year, how much do I have to sell to be able to make sure that I'm making like a good sized profit to continue to fuel my business? And that's the question I ask myself for every account. And or can we support this, right? So like, we were very strategic and made sure to bring in an investor check at the end of December to fuel the growth that we're going to have in 2024. Because you can't just say yes and then not be able to demo or not be able to promo. You're walking into failure, because you need to support those accounts. There is no product out there. And I mean, even like celebrity backed brands, like I mean, maybe it's a little bit different there, but still, I mean, everyone's got to sell their product, and you need the capital to do that, and you need to spend it well.
Yes. Okay. So I hear you when you're like, okay, we're going to 3X. We just 3X the number of accounts we're in, you know, where my retail brain goes is, okay, like that's great. Like, congratulations. Huge. But how are you going to sell through once you're there? Right.
Exactly.
And so Ashley, sorry to interrupt there, but I just really want to emphasize what we were circling around this entire episode is the fact that you have been really strategic about your timeline for 3Xing your doors and ensuring that you have the systems in place to drive trial on the shelf. You've got your influencer, you've got your organic marketing, you've got your email marketing. We didn't even get into that, but you've got your email marketing. You have all of these pieces in place that gets the consumer warmed up before you're even on the shelf.
Yep, exactly. Because it takes, and it used to be the data was that it's 7 impressions to purchase something online.
Yes.
And now I think it's like 12. Like it's unless someone is going into a store and knows exactly what they're getting, and then they're facing a 15-foot bar aisle, it's really challenging. There might be the consumer that's going to sit there and look. And I think packaging says a lot. And we're very bright and vibrant, and we draw people in with our functional superfoods. And like we're drawing people in with the packaging 100%. But there's a lot of bright and vibrant packaging in the bar aisle. Like, I mean, there's a lot of bars. There's a lot of chocolate, specialty chocolate. There's a lot of granola. Like, it's how are you going to differentiate when you're sitting on that shelf? And that's the question that I'm constantly thinking of. And what fun things can you do? Like for airports, for example, I'm flying to New York, and we were asked to demo at Newark, LaGuardia, and JFK for Valentine's Day. So I'm going to be airport hopping, and literally it's so cool. Like I'm going into the terminal with my little table and like my banner.
Whoa.
And
I'm
gonna be sampling to people that are flying out of all of these airports to raise awareness about our product, but also because it's just a fun activation for Valentine's Day, and we're perfect. We're a heart-shaped chocolate. So it makes sense, but that's a lot of work. It's spend, right? Because I'm flying, right? Like I always try to find a place to stay cheap. So I'm staying with my mother-in-law, which is always great, but it's a lot of time. And I do have people that are like, oh, but that's so much time. Like you could be getting more accounts, and 100%. But we are focused. Like we have our 5 to 7 this year that are like our babies, right? And some of them are going to hit and they're going to be amazing. And some of them aren't. So making sure that you have a good feel of which accounts you can spend your time on and which accounts are like you had mentioned, like your A accounts. And you have to commit to those. And you can't just be like taking them for granted. Like, oh, well, we're on the shelf. It'll just move. Like you just can't take that for granted. Even if it is moving, like you still got to work in those accounts to bring customers in. And airports are interesting because it's like you can't send people into airports and be like, check on the product. Like you have to, like I have to be there, or like I have to tell, constantly be raising awareness. Like look for us in Newark in Terminal C. So people know that when they're flying, they're like, oh my God, there's BTR. And we've been tagged. I mean, hundreds of times by new people and our own customers that are like, oh, I found this really cool brand in LaGuardia or Houston. And it's a constant effort. So every week, like my director of ops, we revisit our CRM. What are the accounts that are in play? What's the percentages like from 0 to 100% that we're going to win this account? And if it's 50, like that's great. If it's 90, like what are we doing to get those accounts across the finish line? Mm. And then once we're there, we have to give 3,000% to make sure those accounts really we can blow it up there.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. That velocity over doors, right? That we've got to make sure that you are selling in the accounts that you're in. What I am taking away from our conversation is how much you show up as a real person in your business, whether it's working with influencers, connecting with those retail buyers, talking to consumers, like you are showing up as a real person and developing deep relationships with them, and it's paying off for you.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It's all about the relationship. That is everything from influencer to team to buyer to it's everything. I love that.
Gosh, Ashley, I feel like we could do an entire season where you just come back and talk to us more about email marketing. You talk more about those fun things that you're doing at retail. Yes. I know that you've been doing a bunch of really fun marketing campaigns. You could come in and talk to us about building a team. You could talk to us about having a 19-month-old baby and still doing demos. Gosh, you've got so much wisdom to share with us, Ashley.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you really want to share with our audience before I let you go?
I talk way too much. I think that the last thing I always share is like, I have a really strong community of founders around me as well. And we are constantly sharing resources with each other and just like rooting for each other because this is a really, really lonely journey. And it's, I do have friends that are outside of the industry. And then sometimes it's just like, I'm talking a whole other language. And it's sometimes it's good because it's a nice reset, but it's you need those founder friends. Like growing alone in private, it's just, it's so sad. And you get also caught up in your head thinking like, oh, well, this company is on LinkedIn sharing this, and that means they're like 25 times bigger than me. When you really realize like we're all in this together, we're all trying to make a difference together. And if you actually lean on people that are, you know, in lateral categories, like you just get so much further along. So that's the one thing I would leave advice is like, find your community and feel free. Like if people want to reach out to me, I love talking to founders. It's one of my favorite things to do because it's as much as everyone's like, there's no gatekeeping. There's gatekeeping, right? In every industry, 100%. But the more friends you make in the industry, the easier it is to go through this together.
Yes. Okay. So speaking of, where can people stay in touch with you? We'll put all of this in the show notes, but tell us for our listeners, where can they find you?
Amazing. So I'm the one on Instagram until further notice, btr.nation. So it will be me. I don't even have a personal Instagram account. So people are like, how can I follow you personally? I'm like, this is our Instagram account. It is me.
Same.
I love it because it's, you know, we are the business, right? Which is a whole other topic we can get into for hours. But, and then also on LinkedIn, Ashley Nicholson on LinkedIn, Ashley at btrbytes.com, over email, any place. I'm on TikTok, all the things. But, you know, but there's some channels, right? Like we don't do as much on YouTube as I would like, right? So like that's maybe a 2026 goal, like figuring out like what things you can push off, not push off, but like what's going to bring in the most ROI? What's going to help you build the best community without like having you spread too thin?
Yes. Great.
My final tidbit.
Yes. Ashley, you are an inspiration and you are making David and Donna proud.
Thank you. Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome. All right, our listeners, thank you for joining us today. Ashley, thank you for being here. I'm so grateful for your time and your vulnerability. And I'm so proud that you're out there doing your own thing. I mean, like so many industries, we have so much convention in CPG and so many rules that we're supposed to follow. And I'm really grateful that we got to have Ashley on our show today to show us that you can do things differently and still find success. So my whizzes, I can't wait to hear from you. Make sure you connect with us on Instagram. You've got Ashley's contact info now and our new Instagram handle at foodbizwiz. Find me there and tell us what you took away from today's show. As always, find the full links to what we talked about today in our show notes. And we will be back next week with an episode highlighting another women-owned brand with Tanya from Queen of Hearts. We'll see you back here next week. Bye for now. What's your business's secret sauce to success? I want to know, and I bet you do too. Take our secret sauce quiz to find out. You'll answer 10 quick, fun questions on yourself and your business, and you will get your secret sauce results, plus a curated list of free resources for your exact stage of business and your own unique superpower so that you can do more of what's working. Find our secret sauce quiz linked directly in the show notes. Complete it in less than 2 minutes and then grab your free custom toolkit filled with hand-selected, totally free resources for you and your growth once you complete that quiz and get your results. Grab it right now in the show notes and find out your secret sauce to success. Thanks for listening to Food Biz Wiz. If you're enjoying this podcast and the tools it gives you for growing your packaged product business, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. From one small business owner to another, I am deeply grateful for your support of this podcast, and I appreciate it when you share it with your fellow food founders, share it on social media, or leave me a review on your listening platform. Ready for more? Find out how we can work together at foodbizwiz.com. I'll see you right back here next week.